is October 27th, 2016, and this is episode number 382 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, a hopeless romantic hell-bent on global domination. To get the full story on, hell-bent on global domination with my pro-love agenda.
Ah, okay. Now I'm on board.
Yeah, can I start over? And sure. I'm Brian Chaffin, a hopeless romantic, hell-bent on global domination with my pro-love agenda. See, it works better when it's...
It does.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Wait.
You always do that wrong.
Yeah, no, I did that totally right, just early. You are a hopeless romantic.
I am a hopeless romantic, absolutely, positively. A hopeless romantic. I know it. I own it. I accept it.
I, for one, welcome our hopeless romantic overlords.
Yes. Well, you weep in despair.
Yeah.
So, right. Anyway, Apple did the thing. There's the thing. You know, we were originally going to talk about the earnings report, but, you know, it's like a frickin' snooze fest.
So instead, we'll talk about the Hello Again media event, which was... so much more exciting.
We were going to talk about both, but at this point we're only going to get to the earnings report / conference call if we run out of things to complain about the Hello Again media event.
Right. All right, so now that we have the appropriate negative spin on what today's show will be, I wasn't happy with the media event. I wasn't unhappy with it. It just wasn't blown over by the event.
It was a snoozer. It was 80 minutes for two new products.
Yeah, but I am excited for the new computer.
Great. The new computer is bitching.
But did we need 80 minutes for that?
We didn't need 80 minutes for a new laptop and a new app.
Right.
I would say if I was judging just on the content, I would have said that they had to cancel a bunch of stuff at the last minute and had to come up with a bunch of filler. Mm-hmm. But the third party presenters, of whom there were plenty, were all fantastic and completely on point and well rehearsed. So they were clearly not added.
No, you're absolutely right. Those people had been rehearsing their presentation for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like for at least part of Apple's own presentation during the event, that it wasn't very well rehearsed, which has me wondering if they had rehearsed a different presentation and changed it at the last minute.
Well, for what? In reaction to Microsoft? That was what we just saw was no reaction to the Studio Pro.
I don't think it was in reaction to the
Surface Studio. Surface Studio.
Yeah, I don't think it was in reaction to the Surface Studio. I think that they got down to the wire and there was something else he wanted to present and didn't feel like it was appropriate to do so. Mm.
I don't think so. Phil Schiller and Craig Federighi were well rehearsed too. The only person who didn't feel rehearsed was Tim Cook, and that was mainly in the introduction. His introduction felt a little bit out of place.
All right. Well, I think they actually thought
that they had 80 minutes worth of content to show us, and I would posit that they were mistaken.
Yeah, they could have done the whole thing in an hour without feeling rushed.
Yeah, and another thing, I don't need an update to the media event that was held a couple weeks ago. Call me crazy. Don't need it.
Yeah, and I've been trying to figure out who that part of the event was targeted at, because it wasn't the people in the room. They already knew all of that.
anyone watching a keynote, anyone watching an Apple keynote is well aware of what was announced 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever that was. I guess it was in September, right? So it was a month ago, whatever.
Yeah, the
I'm super cranky, dude.
Cranky.
I'm super cranky, and we haven't even.
Nonetheless, I'm really excited that I'm finally getting a new MacBook Pro. I'm so glad you're getting a new MacBook Pro, Jeff. Thank you, Brian. I'm excited, too.
Dude, I'm super stoked you're getting a new MacBook Pro. I am super stoked you're getting a new MacBook Pro. How are you gonna like that 16 gigs of RAM, Max?
I wish it could have been 32 gigs of RAM. I'm not understanding. Well,
it's a Pro device, so why would you possibly need 32 gigs of RAM?
Yeah, that's my disappointment with the new computer.
All right. Let's back up. Let's back up.
Okay.
Let's actually talk about the thing that was actually really, really interesting in this media event. The thing that actually got very little time. And that's the new TV app in Apple TV. To me, that was the real star of this event. And then I'd like to get to the point where I'm frothing at the mouth about what was, and more specifically, what was not introduced at that event.
Okay, let's talk about the TV app, and you can wax poetic, and then I'm going to kick your poem in the pants.
All right. So the new TV app announced just a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is as Apple executives were quick to repeat frequently and loudly, a unified experience, or offers a unified experience within Apple TV.
Finally, this is what we should have had when Apple TV 4 was first introduced.
In fact, it doesn't it kind of make you think, isn't this what Steve Jobs meant when he talked about cracking the code?
I think this is at least part of what he was talking about.
Well, why did it take so long to get it?
Content deals?
Yeah, the only thing I can figure, sorry about the noise, the only thing I can figure is that is if this was the thing that Steve Jobs was talking about. And what I'm referring to is the Walter Isaacson biography, where Steve Jobs told Mr. Isaacson about TV, quote, "We finally cracked it," unquote.
You know, if that's what Steve was talking about, that's also kind of weird, because this is something Netflix was already doing.
Well, yeah, but ironically, Netflix is not doing it now.
I'm sorry, TiVo. TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo, kind of. I know that Dave was saying that. I think that there is definitely a separateness aspect to TiVo when it comes to providing all of the content that you need to get. Because part of it is the speed of the device, I suppose, this speed of the the Romeo units. I've got the entry level Romeo unit. Maybe Dave's got the higher end one that's faster or something. But there's a separateness. Yes, it's showing you where everything is, but it's still not really all that particularly unified. Because once you actually start going to one of these separate sources other than the content recorded by your TiVo, you know, you got to get to another. It takes you to the app, but you got to get there, and it's got to launch, and it's got to, you know, sometimes it's got to do the credential thing, all of which Apple TV does faster and more smoothly than TiVo does. So,
all right, so there's that.
I don't think they're just replicating what TiVo was already doing. I think they're actually doing it better than what TiVo was doing.
Okay. Still, I don't think that that if this is what Steve was talking about,
mm-hmm.
that it's really cracking the code.
Yeah, it would have been cracking the code in 2011 when he said it. before he died. It would have been pretty revolutionary then.
Yeah. And I mean, as it is now, 2016 and just getting it.
Yeah. And as it is, we're like, you know, yeah, finally, we've been waiting for this because finding all your content on your Apple TV is sometimes really annoying.
Yeah. I spend so much time jumping between apps. And yes, I know this is a first world problem, but the point is,
well, we live in the first world.
We do. Yeah. Instead of simply watching the content that I'm interested in, I have to know which app to go to for the different content that I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so now finally this will change, although again, Netflix actually isn't involved, which is weird.
Right. And so that's the kick in the pants right there.
Right.
Without Netflix involved, the value of the TV app is almost completely gone for me. And that's because I do use Netflix for so much of my viewing content.
Yeah, and you got to wonder why this is. Is someone holding out for something? Is someone unsatisfied with something? Is someone not wanting Apple to have the more power? Is Apple actually wanting some kind of concessions from Netflix? It's kind of hard. It's impossible to know why Netflix isn't involved out of the box. Hopefully that will change soon.
Right. And since the app won't be available till the end of the year, that gives Apple and Netflix several more weeks to work this out.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Right.
Yeah. So what we know is that Apple has a lot of content providers lined up, but they can always add more. So my guess is that what we heard about today were the deals that have been finalized.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah. For all we know, Apple and Netflix are in the middle of negotiations, and it's going to come together. They just hadn't finished the talks yet, so Apple wasn't going to pull another ping and announce someone was on board without having the signature. You remember when they did that with Facebook?
Yeah, but there's a difference, though. Apple did the work for Ping to integrate it with Facebook. They just didn't have Facebook's permission. And in this particular case, the third-party developers are going to have to actually do the integration. So Apple couldn't really announce it. So it's, you know, mostly pedantic, but it's kind of an apples and oranges comparison.
You are so cranky today.
I am. I'm pretty cranky.
Yeah. I think that we need to rewind to the beginning, and we're going to change your title from Hopeless Romantic, Hellbent on Ruling the World, to Mr. Cranky Pants.
Hellbent on Global Domination. Thank you. I'm mostly pedantic, I realize. Oh. I'm so sorry about the noise. I keep hitting my microphone.
No, I understand. It's not like you're used to having a microphone in front of your face.
I had to tear down my desk in my office, and then rebuild it, and so things are actually in slightly different places.
Oh, and you have muscle memory.
Apparently, yes.
And your microphone is about an inch closer than usual.
No, that's the weird thing. I think it's higher.
Huh. Maybe you're slouching.
I'm definitely slouching.
Oh. Sit up, Brian. It's good for your posture. You know, actually, that's probably not true. Research has been showing that sitting in a more reclined position in your chair where there's a curve in your back is better for you.
Yeah. Huh. Who knew?
Well, I did. I just told you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. So so the TV app, it's what Apple TV is needed. It's going to make this device a lot more usable. Hopefully, Apple will get Netflix involved. Hopefully, Amazon will eventually get involved for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I find it really weird that Amazon is offering Prime content through the iPhone and iPad and not Apple TV.
Agreed. Very much agreed. Yeah, it's weird.
If Amazon would do that, and then tie in to the new TV app, and Netflix is on board, man, I would have the nexus of my entertainment system all in one place. It would be awesome.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. So my guess is that there's a good chance that before the end of the year, Netflix will be on board. Mm-hmm. I know I'm thinking positive, but hey, that's how I roll. Mm-hmm. And so if Netflix is on board, even though we still don't have Amazon Prime on Apple TV, I'll be pretty pleased, because that will take care of unifying pretty much everything that I do on Apple TV.
Right. Right. And I would call that, I mean, you know, it was the first part of Apple's thing, and was clearly not the hello again moniker. We'll get to that. But mm-hmm. But I would say that of what was shown, that's probably going to have the biggest long-term ramifications for Apple, is this TV app. Whether or not Apple has had it in the past, whether or not it's what Steve Jobs was talking about when he said that Apple had finally cracked it, whether or not this is a new thing, whether or not this has been delayed because Apple was hoping to unveil it when they had, you know, content deals in place, whatever the case, the new TV app is, I think, the more significant thing that was announced during the event.
I think both were significant, but not for the same reason. I think this is significant because this shows Apple pulling content together and really wanting to be a true single point for our entertainment consumption.
Okay.
Now, the other part, are we ready to talk about the other part?
Which other part?
The computer.
The MacBook thing?
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, whatever. If you want to. That's fine.
Brian, Mr. Cranky Pants. Watch him do his cranky dance, Mr. Cranky Pants.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you now have a jingle.
Thank you. Solid work there.
Thanks. I just totally made that up right on the spot. I bet you couldn't tell.
Sure.
Okay, so I think the new MacBook Pro was significant because this was Apple's way of saying that they're staying in the Pro market, but they think the future of the Pro computer market is in portables.
Yeah, clearly that's wrong. Clearly, there are still desktop applications for the Pro market. There are clearly still people who need the screen real estate, the horsepower, the video horsepower, the RAM, the storage, all of which are better on a desktop. Clearly. Now, right? This is why the entire PC world is rushing to try to steal Apple's Creative Pros.
Mm-hmm.
They see enough in this market to try to steal it. Apple apparently doesn't care. Apple is telling. Here's the piece I'm going to write. Apple should have called this event goodbye again, not hello again, because they're telling the Pro market goodbye. This thing is barely a pro machine. It doesn't have the horsepower to be a serious video device.
It'll run
at the pro level.
Okay. So dual 5K.
It's got a quad core. Listen, when people need to do some serious rendering, mm-hmm. they need more than what the MacBook Pro is going to have.
Okay, that I will accept. But saying just for video, it doesn't have pro level support. No.
Yeah,
if you can run dual 5K displays at the same time as your Retina display, that's pro right there. But the rendering part, absolutely. You don't have nearly as many cores as you're going to get in a desktop machine. Therefore, you can't render nearly as quickly.
Yeah, and I don't get it. It's not enough. Listen, Touch Bar is cool. That's great. It's wonderful. Although, you know what about the
It's the toolbar, isn't it? Not Touch Bar.
It's Touch Bar.
Okay. I can't remember.
Here's something about the touch bar that makes me cranky. Apple gives us things like Force Touch and 3D Touch. But because they're not available on all devices, it, in my opinion, makes it more difficult to embrace them.
Yeah, you do need to know which device you can use which type of touch.
Yeah. And with the touch bar, so what, I guess we should probably, this is brand new, so we should explain what the touch bar is. It's a little strip of a Retina display that's multi-touch capable.
And it replaces the function keys on the keyboard.
It replaces the function keys plus a lot more.
Yeah.
It's essentially a programmable touch strip for user interface elements.
I like to think of it as a full-on display that happens to be really narrow and is intended to be used for very specific things.
Well, I would not intend it. It's the only thing you can't, because it's so purpose-built. I don't like calling it a display at all.
Okay, someone is going to figure out how to make their app show little animations and stuff in that bar.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
Someone's going to make a video game that you play in that bar.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Pong right on that? Tap, tap, tap. I can't lose.
All right, so it's this little strip of a Retina display, multi-touch capable. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it displays UI elements that are context-aware and purpose-built to the app or task that you're doing. So, for instance, if you're just like in normal browsing mode, for instance, maybe you'd have the function keys and the escape key and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're using an app like Photoshop, Adobe is working on adding all manner of specific controls that you can actually do straight from this bar. Just for instance, same
which
thing
is with pretty cool.
Final Cut Pro X, same thing. I'm supposed to call that Final Cut Pro 10. I forget. Apple's very inconsistent with that.
Yeah, we're going to call it whatever we want. Sometimes they just call it Final Cut Pro.
That's true. that's an excellent
point. So if Apple can't be consistent, why should we worry about
right
being consistent? Yeah. All right. So the touch bar when we first started hearing about it, I was indifferent. After seeing it in action, I do think it's really cool, and I think it has a lot of potential, but I'm going to hold out on ruling it a successful change or not until I get my own computer in hand.
My concern about this thing, watching people use it, is how specific they had to be when they were touching stuff.
Just like on your iPhone or Apple Watch?
No, it's different. It's absolutely, it's much different. It's such a narrow strip that you have to touch that people were just, I don't know, I've got to use it too. Don't get me wrong, I've got to use it too. And I'm, you know, always on guard against being change resistant.
Yeah, and when I was watching people touch the touch bar, mm-hmm. A lot of it looked to me like, not like they were having to be incredibly specific about exactly where their finger was coming down, but more like they were learning to use a new device. Except for Craig Federighi, he looked like a piano player almost.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you go back and watch the way he was touching the touch bar, it was markedly different from the way many other people were.
True, and he's probably been using it longer.
Right.
The way Apple usually works with these, people might be interested to know this. When they've got someone up on stage with them, oftentimes those people have been invited to to come in and work with Apple on adding whatever new functionality that Apple is introducing. And they've sometimes they'll have 2 weeks, and sometimes they'll have 2 days, and sometimes they'll have a day. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes people are coding on an airplane on their way to Cupertino. Mm-hmm. So it is very possible that that this stuff was all very new for everyone that was presenting.
I think that's very likely. And the exception would be Craig Federighi, because he's in-house, and he would be testing this and playing around with it during the whole design phase.
Right.
So it did look a lot more natural when he was doing it than when other people were.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, so it's probably going to be cool, and it's probably going to be really useful. The point I was originally making was that when Apple does these things and they're only available on some devices, it makes it harder to really embrace them as part of your everyday workflow, because you can only use them sometimes if you have multiple devices. And a lot of people, especially in the pro market at whom this touch bar is supposedly aimed, do have multiple devices.
Yeah, it's very likely that many of the people buying this MacBook Pro will also have an iPhone and an iPad.
Well, I was thinking more like multiple Macs.
Oh, yeah, and multiple Macs, too.
Yeah, so that's specifically what I'm on about here. So this thing is available on the MacBook Pro, but pro users do have iMacs, and some of them maybe even have, you know, 3-year-old Mac Pros that they can still buy for full price because I'm super cranky about it.
Get her much?
Yeah, a lot. And and you can't do all, like, there's no standalone keyboard that has this touch, that has the touch bar.
Not yet.
Yet.
My guess is that is coming.
I hope so, but is it going to come a year from now? I mean, it's, you know, it seems like that's the way Apple does it, is they'll introduce a new feature on a product, and then the next year they'll introduce it on another product, and then you know, the next year it's either not going to come into any more new products, or the last one that's going to get it.
I'm guessing that we'll see the standalone touch bar keyboard when the next iMac ships.
I hope so. That would be really good. I mean, who knows when that'll be, because it's only been a year since the last iMac was rolled out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little cranky about that, too. In case that wasn't obvious.
Nope, hadn't picked up on that. So how do you feel about the Thunderbolt 3 ports?
Oh, that's actually pretty good. I met with Belkin today. They were showing me some new products that are going to be introduced. Some of them actually were just officially launched an hour and a half ago as of this recording. Mm-hmm. Some of them will come out on Tuesday. They're doing some really, really interesting things with Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C. I like the fact that the MacBook Pro has four of these things. I love the fact that you can use any of the four to do essentially anything you want to do.
Including charging, because no MagSafe.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rick Allen, by the way, he sent a note in right before we started recording saying that he was cranky about the lack of the MagSafe. I think that USB-C is an excellent replacement for MagSafe.
I think it's an excellent replacement with the drawback that you don't have the easy breakaway if your cord is yanked.
Oh, actually, that's probably precisely what he was talking about. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So my plan is to get a hold of, I think it's Griffin, is making a USB-C to MagSafe adapter.
Okay.
And I will use that when I'm out and about and have to charge. And that way I will have my security blanket of MagSafe, which, by the way, has been stunningly useful for me over the years.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely not ruined MacBook Pros because of MagSafe.
Yeah. It's been a godsend for me. So, yep, that'll be one of the first accessories I buy.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, but Thunderbolt 3 USB-C, which means that we can plug pretty much anything into our MacBook Pros, or into this new MacBook Pro. See, that's how much I'm looking forward to this. I've already taken ownership of a computer I haven't even ordered yet. but the point is, as long as you have the right adapter, you can plug pretty much anything into this computer, and it'll just kind of do that thing where the computer's like, yo, new thing to play with. All right, dude. Because I'm pretty sure that's how they talk.
Yeah. Were you surprised, by the way, to see the headphone jack? Doesn't it seem a little ironic? Right? I mean, you know, Apple's taking the headphone jack away from the device where we're most likely to use a headphone, which is our iPhones and iPads. And, you know, I've been okay with that heretofore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they go ahead and stick it on the brand new cutting edge, redefine the genre MacBook Pro.
Yeah. But I believe it is a headphone jack only. So you can't plug like your iPhone earbuds into it and use a microphone.
I
think it is audio out only. Looking at all the specs, it's interesting where you see the headphone jack mentioned on like older models, and it specifically talks about audio in and out. And on the brand new MacBook Pro, it talks about audio out only.
Hmm.
So I think it is literally just a headphone jack now. I'm glad it's there because...
Well, it's always been just a headphone jack because Apple used to have a microphone input.
It's a combo jack. It's been a combo jack for many years where you can plug headphones or a microphone into the port.
Is this because I have a 2011 MacBook Air? Because that has a microphone jack and a headphone jack that are separate.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I'm looking at the side of one right now. It's a combo jack.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, let's just move on from there.
Yeah, let's just move on from how many headphone and audio jacks are on the computer, Mr. Mostly Pedantic.
Let's not, Cranky Pants. Let's not dwell on who killed whom.
thanks, I built it again. Yeah. Anyhow, it's weird on one hand that the audio jack or the audio out jack is on the new MacBook Pro, but on the other hand, I'm glad it's there because when I am monitoring when recording, I like to plug directly into the computer.
Sure.
And I can still do that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I was pleased to see it. It just was a little bit surprising. And I'm like, some ways it wouldn't surprise me if there had been a lightning port on it instead. Plug your headphones in here.
Yeah. There were some people speculating that was going to happen. Nope. And that, I guess that kind of makes sense. Cause if you're going to give us this universal high speed connector port, why not just give us a bunch of those and call it good?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. All right. So in the meanwhile, we have Apple exiting the display market, right? They went so far as to pimp an LG display of all things.
Yeah. They made a point of telling people that this LG display is really great.
Yes. And that was very clearly a message that says, no, seriously, we ain't going to do it.
I agree. All these rumors about a new Apple 5K display with the built-in graphics card and ports for everything, blah, 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 blah. That's not happening.
Well, it's because they make one with an iMac. So why would they possibly release it as a standalone device for the pro market? Oh, that's right, because they don't care about the pro market anymore.
You know, this is a weird thing because Apple's objective, I believe, all the way back to the original Apple II was to make a computer for the masses, to make the computer appliance that everyone wants to use. And I think falling into the pro graphics market and pro design and creative markets was a side effect of the way they designed their products and wasn't actually their goal in the beginning. But they ran with it, which was smart. And
well, okay, now hold on. I got to quibble a lot. I got to quibble a whole lot.
Okay.
Steve talked about the rest of us, but Steve wanted people to be creating beautiful things with his Macs.
Sure.
And when Steve is talking about people creating beautiful things, it's fine if the rest of us can do so, but really he's wanting people to create beautiful things. And we all know that beautiful things are really created by creative professionals.
Now I've seen your drawings and I disagree.
I'm being facetious here but I think
he wanted to create tools that empowered anyone to be able to be creative.
It's interesting that you're being more charitable than me.
It really is. But where I was going with that is that while Apple is couching the new MacBook Pro as their professional level machine, I think that underlying philosophy of we want to be the computer for everyone is still there, and you can see that coming through in this machine.
Well... Okay, I'm not really sure how you're getting there, but that's fine. Let's just make that a given.
We might as well, because
abandoning the people, you know, John Keats made this point several times for us, the devil's advocate. Creative pros have always had a halo effect.
I agree.
For Apple, for instance, one reason why we see Apple devices in TV shows and movies is in part because they're gorgeous.
Right.
But also, it's because the people making the shows are all using Macs. And they want the rest of the world to see those Macs being used.
Right.
Right? Well, Apple is telling those people they are unimportant. That Apple does not care about their business. That Apple is not interested in supplying the tools that they need to continue to do what they do. And these people are turning to Windows. This is happening all around us, creative pros, scientists.
Yep. This professionals. Is a space that Hewlett Packard started to jump into in a serious way several years ago when they saw that Apple was neglecting the market. And HP was really smart to do that, because you are absolutely right. Apple is neglecting that market. And even now Microsoft is catering to that market with products like the Surface Studio that was announced yesterday.
Yeah, Wednesday as of this recording.
Well,
actually just Wednesday, yesterday as of this recording. Mostly pedantic. But the Apple risks losing this class of user by selling them three-year-old non-towers at three-year-old prices, and by not supplying them with the tools that they need. Apple risks losing this class. This class has long had an outsized effect on influencing other people to use Apple Macs.
That's true. Now, what I'm wondering, because I can't imagine Apple abandoning an important market just because they don't feel like pursuing it. So there has to be some reason why they think this is the right path to go down. And what I'm wondering is if they're finding that for the creative professionals that are leaning into Apple's ecosystem, that they are primarily going for laptops, and that for whatever, and they have information that tells them it's not because they're selling a three-year-old tube tower thing, but because that's what their market prefers. I hope that's
there
the case.
There are people still needing desktop computers.
That's true.
With are horsepower, RAM, and it, well, okay, to your point, I would say that if you're looking at just the numbers from a bean counter standpoint, the answer is probably no. And the reason why the answer is probably no is because Apple is, in fact, abandoning this market. Now, the flip side of that is that there's enough of this market, which, by the way, happens to occupy the highest, most profitable part of the computer industry. Mm-hmm. Right? There's enough of this market that Apple is pissing away to entice Microsoft and HP and Dell to go after it. Yep. And these are all companies that sell more computers. Well, Microsoft does not sell more computers, but Dell and HP sell more computers than Apple. And they want this part of the market in part because it is profitable and because it does have this halo effect.
Yeah. So what is it that has Apple turning their back on the pro desktop market? And I think we need to invoke Chaffin's razor here. Because this, on its surface, appears insane. Therefore, there must be some critical piece of information we are missing that this decision make sense.
Because from everything we know, very few of Apple's executives are insane. I want... It could be something as simple as Tim doesn't see the same value in catering to these folks that Steve Jobs did. But as a matter of fact,
I don't think Steve was catering to that market very much.
I would say that Steve was always very interested in keeping creative pros happy.
On the desktop, later on, I would disagree. I mean, look at the cheese grater towers. And when Steve was alive, the regular updates to those computers went away. Yes, he took them to the point where they were the cheese grater, but then it just stopped, and he was still in charge. And the last update that was done to the cheese grater model wasn't because Apple wanted to do an update. It's because the components were so old that Intel had stopped making the processors that Apple was using, so they had to put a new processor in it. And Steve was around for that. So I think
it's true. And to your point, Steve made it very clear that more and more people are using portables, and that Apple was pursuing that very very seriously.
And I think this computer. Just part of that strategy.
But this is what, man. But this is the problem I have here too. I get it. Yeah, people do want portable. There is this class of user that I've been going on about today. There is this class of user that needs the desktop, right? That needs more desktop than an iMac. You know, mm-hmm. That needs the standalone device that you can, you know, you can chock full of RAM and maybe chock full of hard drives, where you can change the video card if you need to, that sort of thing. There is a class of user that needs that. And then a lot of other professionals are absolutely going mobile, with apologies to Pete Townsend. And at the same time, you look at this device. It's got a quad core at the high end, and it holds quad core i7 at the high end with 16 gigs of RAM max. Mm-hmm. And the 13 inch has got a dual core i5 for frick's sake.
Thank you for having the consideration to not make me edit the show.
It took enormous concentration.
I do appreciate that.
A dual core i5, and there's been speculation that the 13 inch just isn't big enough to do enough heat dissipation for anything more than that. To which I say, then make it bigger. You're talking about a freaking pro device. if the form factor that you're picking isn't a, it doesn't allow for the kind of horsepower that a pro device needs, then use a different form factor. This is freaking retarded, man. This is stupid. This is freaking stupid. Doesn't make any sense to me. 16 gigs of RAM in a pro device. Come on, man. Really? I've got 24 gigs of RAM in my iMac. I have kernel panics because I don't have enough RAM. You know, I've got lots of stuff running.
Maybe your computer just needs therapy. I mean, look how wound up you are. Maybe it feels the stress. That isn't helping at all, is it?
No, it's actually a really good point.
So, you know, the RAM thing, I was really surprised. I figured that we'd have a choice of 16 or 32 gigs of RAM.
16 minimum. Yeah. 16 minimum. It comes with 8. And you can get 16. It should be 16 minimum with the option of 32.
Okay. Just because you're mostly pedantic, we'll be mostly pedantic here.
Yes. Yes.
The so if we look at the 15-inch model.
Yeah.
You have 16 gigs of RAM standard. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Just 16 gigs.
It's just 16. Okay. I'm sorry. I did mix that up.
And then on the 13-inch, you can get an 8 gig model.
Yeah, that's the default.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm looking at 8 gigs. Oh, you're right. 8 gig. But then you can upgrade it to 16. You are correct. Okay. So 13 inches
is not enough for a pro model.
No, it is not.
16 gigs of RAM is not a pro model. Now, to be fair, this actually does matter. The you can do up to 2 terabytes of SSD storage, and it's fast and it does up to 3 gigs of read speed, 3 gigabytes per second of read speed, which is really fast. Yep. And so from a virtual memory standpoint, these should perform better than, say, my even my iMac, which is a year old. It's you can check out the specs on Apple's site because it's the one that's still sold today. Right. Just in case anyone was unclear on that particular frickin' point. So yeah, great. We're catering to these professional users with this pro device, but the pro device is got a maximum of 4 cores, and some of them have 2 cores, and they don't have enough memory. So yeah, I'm not, I don't get it.
You know, maybe I'm giving Apple a little bit more slack here, even though I'm not pleased with the limited RAM option. But maybe I'm giving them a little bit more slack because in other aspects, they designed the computer I need.
Well, no, it is a cool device. In a vacuum, it's a cool device. Didn't need a full 80-minute presentation.
Yeah, but the presentation was a bit long. Yeah.
Right? We kind of vented about that. But it's a cool device. And it's got Touch ID, by the way. I'm pleased as punch to see Touch ID coming to the Mac.
I'm happy to see that, too. What I hope is that there's a Touch ID sensor at both ends of the strip, as opposed to just the right end.
No. Not going to do that. There's no way they're going to do that.
I'm aware of that. What I'm saying is I would like to see that because I'm left-handed.
Well, then you're going to have to add your right hand some too. You're printing it wrong.
Is your mom calling? Don't you need to leave now?
You're touching it wrong. There's no way Apple do it. Yeah,
you Apple's have no idea how difficult it is to not take us down that path.
Touching it wrong.
Also, I'd like to point out that it wasn't me that made that joke. It was you.
It's true. It's true. I don't know, man.
All right. Well, we've been so negative about this. I feel like we need to point out some of the positives.
All right.
Okay. So positives. Apple for Apple TV is taking us down the right path finally.
Yes.
For the way we view our content on that device.
Yes.
Okay. On the MacBook Pro, Apple has finally moved us, presumably, out of the Haswell processors into the Skylake processors, and has put packed in.
isn't that just in time for KB Lake?
KB Lake's already out, but honestly, that's not a big deal because what you get out of KB Lake, it mostly is going to be power improvements.
And you don't want power improvements in a mobile device.
No, why would you want that? Yeah, but the overall differences from Haswell all the way to KB Lake, there's for practical purposes, there's not that much that's different.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
So going with Skylake, I don't see that as a big deal. I would have liked to see KB Lake, but that means we wouldn't get new laptops until next year because there's no way Intel can provide the processors in the quantity Apple needs right now. So, but we've gone to Skylake. Right. That's a really good thing. We're getting much faster ports. We have much more versatility with the ports that are there.
Yep. Those are good. Yep.
That display, 25% larger color gamut, I believe.
Something like that. 67% brighter and 67% more contrast.
Yeah.
Than the previous MacBook Pro Retina display.
Right. So a significant improvement in the display. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And 10-hour battery life.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah, on a Pro machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
My 5-year-old MacBook Air, the battery has deteriorated to where I get about 2.5 hours. So 10 hours sounds pretty dreamy to me.
It does sound pretty dreamy to me as well. We're seeing new innovation, whether it's something useful to you or not, in the touch bar.
Yep, no, the touch bar could be great. I have some worries about it based on watching the people using it, but it's clearly cool. Oh, we should make another point too.
Okay,
are we still trying to be positive?
Yeah, let's be positive.
Because screw this event. Are we still trying to be positive?
We're trying. I don't know how successful we are, but we are trying.
You're trying. I'm not. I'm not.
No, I'm trying. You're trying.
I'm trying your patience. Now, here's the interesting thing about the Touch Bar. The Touch Bar is very specifically Apple doubling down on the idea that people don't want to touch their laptop displays. So, you know, Microsoft's been making a lot of hay out of having these 2-in-1 toaster fridges. And Tim Cook told us the toaster fridges are bad. And he's sticking to that. And what Touch Bar represents is okay. Do you remember when I was saying that Apple was telegraphing, was telling us that it was going to compete with netbooks with an iPod Super Touch, mm-hmm. and that the idea is that Apple there was a bunch of the ideas, but the central one that translates to this is that Apple denigrated netbooks, but never denigrated the need that netbooks were trying to meet, which was the desire to have a super light and portable device you could take anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, you know, Apple ended up doing the iPad and netbooks went away. The Touch Bar is Apple recognizing the idea that there are some things that people want to touch to control on their computers, not just their mobile iPhones and iPads, but it's Apple saying, but we're right. People don't want to touch their displays. They don't want fingerprints on their displays. So we're doing a separate area that people can touch, but won't be used to display basic information.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that it's possible that this is the compromise for a touch laptop that I need. The notion of having fingerprints on my laptop display is horrible to me. I want my laptop display clean all the time, period.
By the way, Gooey Duck just posted a comment on the MacBook Pro announcement that I wrote up.
Okay, what do you say?
256 gig SSD, which is what it comes with at the low end. That's absurd. With these premium prices, 512 should be the minimum. 16 gigs RAM should be the minimum. These are pro systems, for crying out loud. Thank you.
You know, we lasted in the positive mode longer than I thought we would. Yeah. Well, That said, I'm ordering a space gray 15-inch MacBook Pro with the 2.7 gigahertz processor, 1 terabyte SSD, and the Radeon Pro 460 video card with 4 gigs of RAM.
So you'll finally be able to push that the 34-inch HP display you have.
Man.
Why are you friends with me?
I don't know.
Why are you friends with me? Do you want to actually tell anybody?
Sure.
What I'm talking about?
I'll fill people in. So you know, there's the HP 34C curved display that I reviewed. I loved it so much, I actually bought one. So my display is 4 months old, and it turns out it's defective. And I'm certain it is this unit and not the line, because I haven't been able to find anyone else with the problem I'm having. And so it's due for warranty replacement, and there's some screw up with it with HP customer service, and they canceled my replacement unit, and it'll get sorted out, I have no doubt, and I'll have my new display soon. But in the meantime, I've got this massive display that luckily is on a ARM, so I pushed it up and out of the way so that I can work. But like for today's coverage, when we were doing our live chat room, mm-hmm. I was working on my MacBook Pro, my MacBook Air, and my iPad Pro at the same time.
Like an animal.
Yeah, it took three computing devices to make up the screen that I have lost.
Right. So, yeah. So,
but they're going to take care of it. I have no doubt. It's very frustrating right now because I've got this beautiful display I can't use. But they'll get it taken care of. I am certain.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah, I have no doubt.
But in the meantime, oh, my display's dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Display dead. Earnings report snoozer. Okay, we're good to go.
Yeah, and actually, we are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we gave the earnings report all the coverage it actually needed.
Yeah. Listen, listeners, am I being too negative here? Call me on it if you need to. I'm definitely interested in what I'm bringing a little bit of emotional baggage into this particular podcast, but but I
just bounced off the microphone. You're a bad influence.
You're welcome. But I believe that my negativity here is gut felt. The heartfelt.
That's
the
word, right? It's clearly gut felt.
Heartfelt.
Gut, heart. I understand why you mix those up. It's, you know, with all the biology classes you've taken.
Yes. 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 Hellbent on global domination, I am. So let me actually get back to being hellbent on global domination with my pro-love agenda. And why don't you take us out?
I think that's a great plan, Mr. Cranky Pants. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer as best they can without any kind of pro devices. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week.
I'm begging you people, please stay subscribed in spite of Mr. Cranky Pants.
We'll theoretically see you online at the Mac Observer.
Yes, we will.
One continent at a time.
Mr. Cranky Pants.